You're with us here, Climate Chat with Jaspreet Rotary and Don Nicholson. And it's our intention to have a series of climate chats over the year, but here's the first one for you. And to set the scene, I often think of Professor Ian Plimer, a geologist, and how he has told us in his interviews with us in recent years, how the world has had warm periods and cold periods in its 4.6 billion years of morphing and toing and froing. But it's only since the 1750s that people seem to think that things have changed and humans have had a significant effect other than the natural effect of warming and cooling of the world. So part of our game is to really try and highlight whether there is a change from mankind. What has mankind done to the planet? You know, we're lay people. We don't know the answer to this. And we have so we could easily bamboozle you with charts, like lots of other people do. But here we've got a gentleman who we think gives huge influence to an argument that we want him to talk about. And his name is Ian McIntosh, and he has a Bachelor of Applied Sciences and with honours and a long career in that field. So, Ian, welcome to RCR Climate Chat. What is your thesis? What is your central thesis for your discussion? I know you're going around councils and other interested organisations and really opening the can, so to speak. So you have a central thesis. Let's hear what that is, and then we'll work from there.
Well, Don and Jaspreet, it's really great to be back with you again. And you think by now that with all of the fighting that I've been doing with councils, etc., that if my cause wasn't warranted and my information wasn't good enough, I would have given up by now. But my tail's really up. I'm so excited that every time I keep delving into the information, I keep finding amazing data. And little did I know that man's been recording things like sunspots since the early 1600s, and temperature since 1659. And given that the Industrial Revolution started in 1750, means that we've got a lot of prior information prior to when man supposedly started to wreck the planet. And to my surprise, the information that predates the Industrial Revolution has set a stage which conclusively proves that man has had zero or negligible effect on warming, which is claimed to be the reason we've got this mess with all the taxes and control and fear that we've now got pervasive right throughout society. And when I hear about little boys coming home from school and they're crying, coming home from a primary school, and I got told this only the other night that his mother said to him, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Well, my teacher told me today I have to hate my father. And because he's a dairy farmer." And you'll see in one of my slides there, a young lass who was at a protest said, "You will die of old age, but I will die of climate change. There's no planet B." So those promote me as a grandfather and a person who's worked in applied research for over 46 years in commercial environments, that if this is something that I can do something about, well, I'm going to. And I've spoken at multiple councils, and it's fair to say that I believe one or two of them have responded in a favorable way because the data is so confronting. And I think, you know, the people who are fighting on our behalf in councils, they need good data. And so I've taken upon myself to supply the best data I can in a visual form, such that you don't have to take my opinion for it. The information speaks for itself. And in all fairness to people like Professor Plimer, who speaks from a professional geological perspective, I think the greatest danger is when we get to that level that you end up with 10 professors on one side of the debate and 10 on the other, and they debate all these old ages, and no one wins. The general public are as confused after as they were before. Whereas I think the right approach is to give people eyewitness information so there's no debate about the data. The only debate is how you interpret it. Well, if you make it simple so that there's only one conclusion, well, the battle's won. Then all you need are people activated and motivated to go and share it with others. And my wife now knows that if I meet a person that I'm likely to never see again, that person is going to get a dose of a pamphlet that I've produced, and they're going to go away with it, and they might throw it in the bin. But the one or two that don't, they're going to remember that conversation, and hopefully they'll be persuaded by the data and do the same, and go and tell someone else. That's what we've all got to do. But the information has to be presentable, concise, speaks for itself, and leave no doubt. And that's what I'm really excited about, because the information's there. So here's my thesis.
And we are so
Information.
grateful
Sorry?
that, and we are so grateful, Ian, that you're doing this. You're doing this with us, and you're doing this for us and others, who've been trying to tread this path, but it's not an easy one. And I take my hat off to you, if I had one, because you could easily just retire and just say, I'm done. You've had a long career in the sciences, and just say that this is done. But as you said, this is not a fight we can give up when you see young people, not just young, I have seen old people really, upset, worried, besides themselves about what the heck are we going to do? There is no planet B, as you say.
Well, I think we've got a really exciting conversation to have, and I'm so excited by the information, and I've had it vetted by some extremely highly qualified scientists from overseas, and you'll know who that is, Professor Happer. And he has given me his full endorsement. He's very excited by it. And so if a man like that can agree with everything I've said, then why would I keep my mouth shut? So
Absolutely.
I thank you for the platform that you're providing me, because I'm trying to get around, and I've done a bit of traveling, and I've only ever had one person who's really tried to shame me, and the rest of the crowd booed him out of the public hall. Because they wanted to hear the information, and he didn't want it to be heard. So all in all, it's been a positive experience so far. So let it continue.
Absolutely. So
So,
listen.
okay, let's get to your central thesis. Sorry, Jasper, let's get to
Sure.
your central thesis and let's go from there. Yeah, good. Okay.
All right. Share the screen. And before we go any further, I'll just let the listeners know that this is going to be a two-part or possibly even a three-part series, but we're going to take it slow and easy and hopefully equip you with the information that you need if you go on a similar crusade like Ian is heading on to councils, doing speeches in town halls and others. Ian, you're based in Christchurch and
Yes.
you've been doing talks around Canterbury.
Well, I've been as far south as Alex, and
Okay.
so I'm prepared to travel. Now, just one thing for your listeners to notice is that my email address is there. So if you want to make contact with me, please do so. So the good thing about this is simple evidence, and it destroys the despair of the climate change narrative, because we've got a lot of despair out there, and we've got the opportunity to do something with easy information. So
Yeah. We'll
So
make slides available after this when the recording is up. So wait for
great.
that.
Okay, that's excellent. So, well, this is a very important topic, and you're going to see why. So here's the young lady I was referring to. She says, "You will die of old age, I will die of climate change. There is no planet B." Well, the great news is she doesn't need to think like that. And as I've just alluded to earlier, here's this little boy coming home crying and saying he has to hate his dad for being a dairy farmer. I'm picking that was because of methane, not nitrates. But both of them have an answer, and it's a good one. And of course, this recent survey put out by Stuff, or notified by Stuff. If you go to the next one, Jaspreet, the farmers' greatest concerns, according to the survey, were in order, climate change policies, and emissions trading scheme. And farmers feel powerless to answer this. Well, we're going to be able to answer this in a very affirmative way tonight. So this is having massive effects all around the world. This is straight out of the UK in the last week or two. A tenth of farmland to be axed for net zero in the
Imagine, and this is
UK.
at a time when we are all worried about food shortages and the like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happening in New
So,
Zealand too.
yeah, it's in New Zealand too. Yeah. So I'm going to give you some exciting news that there's no need for despair. The information we've got extends back beyond, well, before the Industrial Revolution. So we can now defend burning fossil fuels. But unfortunately, it's not just fossil fuels. Agriculture is now being blamed as well, and the dairy and beef industry know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep, and we've had these, Hivaka Ekanoa here. UK has something similar come out from their Climate Change Commission. We're talking of similar numbers, 25 to 27% of livestock needing to be culled for
Yeah.
at the altar of the, gods of climate change.
Yeah. Well, the claims that man has been causing global warming is a very, very easy hypothesis to test. And the reason it's so easy is because they've been recording, and I only discovered this information in the last 2 months or 2 or 3 months, but in England, they've been recording temperature in the south of England, central England, in England there, since 1659. Now, what's amazing is that that is where the Industrial Revolution started, was in the UK. So we've been measuring, someone had the foresight to start measuring temperature since nearly 100 years before the Industrial Revolution, in the very place where the Industrial Revolution began. And if you have a look at that graph, and if you push the next to the next button there, you'll see where the Industrial Revolution fits. And you'll
Yes.
also see the trend. If you put a line through there, if you've got Excel to put a line through that graph, that's where it would be. Now, interestingly, you'll see to the left of the Industrial Revolution, there was a big spike in temperature. Well, that was well before man could have done it. And some might say out to the right-hand side, well, we've got a big spike now, but I'll put that in context if you go to the
So
next
this
slide there.
is at next to the green arrow, Ian, that you're talking about, that the black line, the dotted line, for the benefit of our listeners. So we see a spike in temperatures even before the Industrial Revolution
Absolutely. Yeah.
began.
Absolutely. So the key thing here is the figures of the variation to the 1961 1990 average. And you'll see we're not talking about big numbers here. We're talking about figures less than 1 degree. So,
Yeah.
and that makes a huge difference. And I'll put that into context in a minute. But the temperature was increasing linearly well before man could have caused it. Now, we could end the debate right there, but there's too much low-hanging fruit that we can harvest, to press the point. But the issue is here that man could not have caused that gradual linear increase in temperature because it was happening for nearly 100 years prior. Now, I mentioned that blip on the right-hand side, that spike in temperature. Well, let's go and see what's happened in New Zealand. There's no spike in temperature, in the last 10 or 15 years, which showed on the long-term temperature trend, because it hasn't happened in New Zealand. This is Dunedin, and if you go to the next slide, yeah, this is Lincoln. Now, these figures, you're talking about the minimums have increased 1.55 degree per century in Lincoln, but the maximums have gone up 0.62 of a degree, and the average has gone up 0.86. The reason that the minimums are increasing is purely because we're coming out of a cold period. And I'll allude to that in more detail in a minute, but it was a little ice age.
So
So if the little, sorry?
the reds on your graph, Ian, the
Yeah,
line
the red on that
is the
graph
minimum line. The
that's the minimum
green
line.
is mapping out the average trend, and the blue is the
The blue
maximum.
is the maximum.
So you are saying if we look at the minimums in the red, what do we see?
We see that they're warming faster than the maximums. So
Right.
the natural conclusion from that is, if it was being driven by heat, the maximums would go up and drag the average with it. But
So,
what this tells you, it's the minimums that are responding to something, and they're dragging up the average. The maximums aren't responding much. And in fact, in Dunedin, it barely moved. The maximums barely moved in Dunedin. It's the
in the
minimums that are moving.
last
And the reason
century,
they're moving is because we're coming out of what is a little ice age, which was about 1600 to 1800. So if the fridge is starting to thaw, it's going to be the minimums that move the most. And that's exactly what's happening all around the world. It's the minimums
right.
that are going up. Why? Because the influence
And
of the
as you've
freezing
mapped this, the
cold
minimum has
periods.
gone up by 1.55 degrees centigrade over the last century, but the maximum is only 0.62 degrees
Yeah,
over
that's
the
right.
century.
And everybody talks about the average going up by 0.86, but they fail to tell you it's the minimums that are doing it. In fact, I had a farmer say to me, Ian, We know we've got climate change because we've now got weeds growing in the South Island that didn't used to grow here. And a professor from Canterbury University said recently, well, we all know that the frosts aren't as bad as they used to be in Canterbury. Well, that's exactly right. And that's why. And in fact, the old fellow who we used to know, who died just short of his 100th birthday, told us that he used to see icebergs coming down the Rakaia Gorge. Now, when he was a kid, the point being that the cold is getting warmer. Don't confuse that with the average. It's the cold that's doing the responding to a warming environment coming out of the Little Ice Age. And you'll see some excellent slides that reinforce
So
that.
we are not debating the fact that climate has changed. It
Yeah.
has definitely warmed, but we are looking at what could be the possible source of that and who do we hold responsible here?
That's exactly right. And the beauty is it's been a linear trend since nearly 100 years before we could have caused it. And it's still linear. So there
Right.
you are. That just shows to show the right-hand side there of the long-term temperature graph shows a blip, but it's not reflected in New Zealand. Something was happening in that part of the world, and I have a sneaking suspicion it had something to do with urbanisation around the thermometer. The heat island effect is one of my suspicions, and we've got some information on that to come later. But it hasn't happened in New Zealand.
I have often asked, spoken aloud to Dawn and wondered, what does the average temperature of the world mean? How do you come up with one average world? We've got such contrasting environments from the equator to tropics to your temperate zones to your polar zones. How do you find out an average? And how logical is it to work around that, Ian? What would be your thoughts on that?
Right. Well, you're going to see in a few slides' time e excellent stuff by Professor John Christie, who was with NASA at the time. He and his colleague, they were the ones that put the satellite into orbit since 1979 that recorded the Earth's lower atmospheric temperature, right? Now, there it is there. So this is a satellite data. It travels around the world every day, recording temperature. The
Right.
global lower atmosphere. So it will get a true average because it goes basically everywhere. So it will give you a true average. And you'll see it bounces around all over the place. You'll see Mount Pinatubo erupted in 1991. Well, it had an effect, a cooling effect on the planet for 2 years. And you notice how big the drop in temperature is. And in fact, Colorado State University was recording glacier depth at that time. And as a result of Mount Pinatubo's eruption, the world glaciers increased in depth by half a meter. So one volcano, and it wasn't that big compared to some of the other ones that we've had, dropped the Earth's temperature. Then you get an El Nino, like happened in 1998, 99, and you get a big spike. Well, if you extend out to the right-hand side, you'll see we've also had another big spike. Well, we went through an El Nino last year, and now it's dropping down. And when you press the next one on there, please, Jaspreet. You'll see that we've got a linear increase as we had on, and it basically would be totally consistent with where we expect the January 2025 figure has dropped substantially, and I'm picking the February one will do the same. And on average, it will follow that linear line, which is exactly with what's been happening since 1659 in England. So all the data we see from around the world, whether it's more recent like this or whether we go back to 1659, shows the same thing, which is linear. Now,
Linear.
yeah, it's linear.
Now,
So,
Ian, when I asked you what does an average mean, I have no doubt that an average can be calculated by a satellite continuously going around. I guess my question there was to explain it better is how meaningful is it?
well,
When
at least.
we've been talking about, managed retreat and other things and one global sea level rise, they keep saying, oh, there are local variations. So how meaningful is that one world average, that 1.5 degrees of temperature increase that we sort of have pinned everything upon in this world, every single country.
Well, two things. I think that 1.5 degrees centigrade is meaningless. That's number one. And number two, you're absolutely right. In isolation, one figure is absolutely means nothing. And you can see on there all of that variation. If you take 1 year out of context with the rest of them, you can tell yourself whatever story you want. The point is, what is the trend? And if you've got a mass amount of data like we've now got with that satellite information, nobody contests that. If you listen to Professor Christie, nobody contests that graph. So those
No
are true.
one
Sorry.
tampers with it. No one, what's the word? No homogenization. I think that's the
No.
word. None of that. This is real data, real time data.
Yeah,
Okay.
since 1979. Now, the other information that I'd show you with England, that was taken over a limited area. And that, in 1654, when the thermometers were invented, they started measuring the temperatures in that area, and they've continued to do so. And they've had problems with urban sprawl, which has affected their ability to get accurate figures. So they've had to shift the thermometers. And of course, that creates problems with calibration, etc. And I dare say, I think it's creating problems with their most recent figures because their trend is out of alignment with the average linear trend.
Yeah, there's actually been some media on that about data that's, for instance, last year I recall some of their data collecting was being collected very near where a bus stop was. So the exhaust fumes from the bus stop were, or bus itself, were going over the temperature station. So look, no doubt there is corruption of data happening by the urban heat island effect and an influence of mankind, you might say.
Well, you'll see a very good interview with a later slide. I've got some excellent information on that, and a Berkeley professor commenting on it. So, yeah. So this is sea level records, and again, you see a linear increase. Now, in a minute, you're going to see a graph that shows how much carbon dioxide man has emitted, and it's exponential. It is not linear. So everything is linear. Everything tells us things have been happening the same since 1659 when the temperature records began, and nothing would tell you that it's changed. That tells me something was causing an influence and man has had nothing to do with it. So this is
Right.
breast in since 1807. You can go onto the NOAA website and you will find hundreds of these graphs. What I don't understand is why the rate of increase varies. In this case, breast is 1.04 millimeters per year. Lyttelton Harbour's 2.9 millimeters per year. Sydney Harbour off record is about 1.55. I haven't been able to find out why that varies. One day I will, but the point is they're all linear, except on a few places in Scandinavia where the ice has melted and the land has raised up because the ice is no longer pushing down and the land has risen. In which case, it's a negative sea level rise. But that's linear as well. When you get linear trends, that tells you it's more of the same for the period of your monitoring. And we've had that since 1659.
And yet, in councils up and down the country, we are having sea level rise modeling that somehow predicts by the year 2100, we are going to be bashed by waves of anything, 2 to 3 meters high. There's going to be parts of New Zealand under this, all sorts of justifications for managed retreat. But none of that evidence comes from the past. I think what's important to emphasize for people is it's all modeling. Whereas
Yeah.
this, what Ian is showing us, it is referenced, and once we have the slides uploaded, you'll be able to see the links to go and see the source documents. This is real world data. There's no
Yeah.
modeling behind it. This is what the nature does, but we are choosing some of the most dramatic models in this country to petrify the living daylights of its citizens.
Well, interesting, Jasper, the Christchurch City Council has just in the last week come out with their conclusion of their adaptation planning, and they've conceded that they really need to have a dynamic adaptation planning rather than necessarily use the models. They're aware that the models indicate we might have a problem looming, but they're prepared to accept that we just need to keep monitoring the trends. And I take my hat off to them because that's the right approach, because this contests those models. And you'll see later, the models are 200 to 400% in error with actual.
Right.
So let's compare the sea level rise figures in Brest in France with the temperature records going back to 1659. And what do we see? If you push the button there, Jasper, you'll see. And then again, you'll see the timeline. And
Yep.
again, and one more. And you'll see it's all linear.
Yet again.
It's all going the same way. So we couldn't have caused either of those.
Yes, here's some hope
Now,
in you.
droughts, floods, and extreme rainfall. Now, this is very interesting because I presented to the Selwyn District Council twice. This is their data. They commissioned a report with Aqualink in terms of their planning for urban development. How do we deal with the impending increase in rainfall with all of our piping? Well, so I happened to come across this. Well, that red line is the mean. And if you press the next button, Jaspreet, you'll see the information. This is a time series of annual frequency of high rainfall for 126 rainfall sites within 10 kilometres of the Selwyn District over 110 years. The red
That's
line
crazy.
is the mean. Now, if you can find, if you have a look up the trend up the top left-hand corner, the trend there is 0.00, 0.002. In other words, that is flat. There is no trend. And if you have a look at the extremes there, the grey lines, there's no increase or decrease in extremes. Those are highly competent people in Aqualink. The lady, she did a PhD. If you press the next button, you'll see there. They're highly competent people. And if you go and look up the reference, you'll get their qualification. You know, they've reflected the truth. I can't see a trend in there. And
No, I can't. If there's anything I see less extreme variations now over
well, and
the
that'd be a fair comment.
past
You
couple of decades. You might look for those places.
could argue that's New Zealand. If you go to the next slide. So this is the UK, 186 years of data in the UK from January to August, which I'm picking in the south of England as their wettest time. There's no trend there either. So, 186 years of information, and this is the whole of the UK.
This
And
one.
there's no trend lines there. You can digest that yourself. But the key thing is there's no trend line, and the top red line are extremes. That's the highest rainfall. There are no trends up or down. It's not getting worse for droughts. It's not getting worse for floods. The reason we're ending up with bigger floods is because we've put concrete and bitumen down, and we've put houses there in waterways, effectively, where the water would naturally go. And
Flood
that's
plain.
why we've got property damage and why we've got loss of life. It's got nothing to do with the rainfall. Got everything to do with man's planning. Well, that's not climate change. That's man's incompetence.
In fact, Don, if you remember, we had spoken about this, you and I. There's this organization which is in the in Europe that's entire job is to remove dams because they want rivers to run free. They talk on their website of how many dozen of dams they remove every year. And once you have built on those floodplains, removal of those dams, what else does one expect?
Yeah,
Well,
exactly
and
right.
of course, we had the Valencia floods earlier or late last year. And what I've read about Valencia was that this is in Spain, is that they altered where their township was. They altered the river because the city was being built up around the old river course, built a new sort of river way, and consequently didn't fix anything. Just put the problem further over. Anyway, that's quite a common thread from a lot of our reading, Jaspreet, has been that apart from a slight warming trend over the last century or so, the other elements like floods, like rainfall, like hurricanes have been at best flat or less. And of course, we hear about unprecedented. Well, actually, there is unprecedented effect when it comes to the dollar value, because there's more people sitting, sorry, living in those areas, or more industry in those areas, and there's more infrastructure damage. Consequently, the cost or the higher loss of life, perhaps, in some of those spots. But yet, the only signal that many commentators have come up with is a slight warming signal in the last 100 years or so.
Well, that warming signal's been happening for over 400 years, Doc.
But we do have a lot of media that now focuses on it all the time.
Yeah,
So with
well, they're on, aren't they?
24/7 coverage, yeah, it seems like a whole lot more.
Yeah, well, this is Australian cyclone density up until 2024, 74 years of data. There's no increase in the trends, and neither in the intensity. Now, we also hear about, causing acidity to our oceans.
Oceans.
Yeah, well, if you keep pressing the buttons, this will tell a tale. So that's where we are now, 420 parts per million of CO2. And if we double it, which is going to take 168 years, then we're going to end up with the next line if you press the button again. Now, the blue line is alkaline. The green line is neutral, and the red dotted line is acid. Well, the line stays above neutral and still stays well in the alkaline. So there's no issue. We're told that we're going to end up with the corals, the mollusks, etc., all having their shells dissolved by acid. Well, that's utter rubbish.
And you are using the same rate of CO2 concentration increase as it has since the Industrial Revolution, where we've gone from 210 parts per million of CO2 to the
Yeah,
current 17. That's 2.5 mm parts per million per year, and you are extrapolating that out.
so this is work done by a chemist along with Professor Happer. They've kept the temperature the same, and
Right.
I've got a copy of that paper if people want it. But if anybody's competent in chemistry, they can do this work themselves, and of course you get a person of Professor Happer's capability and his colleagues. Well, you'd be pretty pressed to say that they're wrong. That's their data. So with where we are now, we double CO2, which is going to be 168 years' time. It's not going to make any difference to the acidity of the oceans. Now, this is what man's doing. Now, you can go and find these sorts of graphs all over the internet. So you might dispute my figures, but that's what I downloaded. So in 1750, the start of the Industrial Revolution, 10 million tons of carbon dioxide. We're now 37.15 billion. That's an increase of 371,500%. You press
Whoa.
the line again. That's a big number. Press it again, Jaspreet. So we should be showing obvious evidence in climate parameters. Well, press the number and press it again. So let's go and overlay that with the oldest temperature records in the world. You press the number again.
I want to look at this figure again, and I want our watchers, listeners to really look at it. This is a six-digit number. This is a 371,500% increase in carbon dioxide emissions over the last ballpark 300 years. And this data is from our World in Data. And I use this website a lot, over
Yeah.
time.
Yeah, well, and people might contest the figures, but all of them give the same trend. It's exponential by a big number. And yet it has made zero effect on the linear increase in temperature
In temperature,
since.
because
Now, the case is over. If you had a lawyer, trying to get you off a crime, I dare say, and you presented him with that data, I think you'd walk out a free man if you said that I did not cause the increase in temperature.
so carbon dioxide concentration has literally just doubled from the start of the Industrial Revolution with the amount of emissions we've been putting out. Yet the amount of emissions have increased by 371,500%.
Yeah,
They're not quite comparable, not quite in the same realm, are they?
well, no. What they, in statistics, they talk about correlation. Well, the correlation of those two lines is zero. In other words, the two are not related.
Absolutely not. There's one rise, the bottom graph, that is exponential, I mean, explosively exponential.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones is just pretty much flat the way I look at it, because even if I look at the temperature increase, it's you're measuring it in increments of 1 degree on the top graph.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
But
You're ready to
the
go
other
ahead.
simple analogy for me is that CO2 in the atmosphere has gone up from 280 ppm to 420 today, so 50%. But here we are talking 371,500%. Where did the all the CO2 go?
Well, and we're going to get to that, but it's not a lot of CO2, Don. As you know, 420 ppm is 0.042%. So it's not a lot of carbon dioxide, but the beauty is, and this is one of the greatest messages to come out of this, is that it's going into agricultural production, it's going into vegetative production, and also in these seas, in the oceans, we're getting phytoplankton, and the biomass in the oceans is going up, as well as the biomass on Earth. And all of that helps feed the planet.
Right, and that's where we're going to perhaps end this point
Yeah.
of the presentation, because that's the next story coming in part two. But you clearly are showing that if we didn't cause the slow increase in temperature from before the Industrial Revolution, then what did?
Yeah, and I just want to add with the previous slide there, Jaspreet, even the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change from the United Nations, whose job it is to find evidence for climate change, admits that at most man has caused 1% of the warming. Now,
Yep.
I reckon that's good news, and
That's
that's
very,
why I can't keep my mouth shut.
it's very good news, Mr. McIntosh. Very good news. And in fact, it would mean we could all get some peace if we just get everybody who's causing us angst and causing those young people angst to
Yeah.
just lighten up on us and get a real job, you might say.
Well, I think what it promotes us to do while we still have a democracy, Don and Jaspreet, is to use that our democratic rights to get in front of as many people and put pressure on our politicians is you explain those graphs, because if you can't, you need to change what you're doing in Parliament.
Yep. So
And
look, that is exactly right, Ian. And so look, we're going to call it a day on part one and come back in a couple of weeks with part two. Thank you for
excellent.
coming on and setting the stage.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ian. And
Thank
this
you.
will be uploaded with all your slides and the data and the references that you have given, Ian. So hopefully people feel a lot more confident tackling this, because this beast
Excellent.
is not going away anywhere. Thank you so much
Excellent.
for joining us.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. Thank you very much.